Well, any visitors we have, we want you to know that we appreciate your presence. And also to our members, if you see a visitor, make sure they get a welcome pack. And also, for the kids, buy worship notes. If you fill that out, you come and see me afterwards, give that to me. I'll give you one of these, Bible bucks, and then you can come use that as a legal tender in my office. You can buy something. We have some visitor cards. If you're a visitor, please fill out one of those and give it to me or drop it in one of the contribution bins at either side of the foyer. That way we have a record of your attendance, and that way we can send you something in the mail. Any events coming up, we'd love to do that. We'd appreciate it if you'd fill out one of those. Also, to the members here, right out there in the middle of the foyer, there's an address sheet. If you would, please, go to that, write down your address, your current address and phone number. And that's mainly for me right now, because I would like to have everyone's updated address, phone number. I'm kind of missing some of that. So if you would, please, fill that out for me. I would appreciate it. And then also, finally here, next Sunday evening, after our evening service, we're going to have dinner with the Drees. If your last name ends with an A to an F, I think an F, right? So you'll see it out there. You're invited to come over to our house. So after the evening service, just head over to the house, and we're going to share a meal together, spend a little time, get to know one another. Nothing formal. Just come hang out, let us talk to you, talk to us, get to know each other. So please, if your last name begins with an A to F, I think. I think that's how we're breaking that part up. All right. Now, in our past several lessons, I admit have been a little bit tough, but that's okay, right? We're thinking about our theme for the year, making an impact, and we're spending this first third of the year looking within, right? Seeing how we can make an impact on the inside, and you know, a lot of these lessons, they've been very straightforward, they've been tough, but that's okay. That's okay because, you know, we should have a willingness to look on the inside. And that's what we've been doing. Now, we're going to continue to look on the inside this morning, but we're going to look on the inside and be comforted. We're going to look at the inside and be comforted. And this morning, if you're here visiting again, or maybe even a constant visitor, I pray that something would be said. If you're not a New Testament Christian, I pray that something would be said to encourage you to obey the gospel. Because we're travelers in this world, and you know, our days on this earth are numbered. The days aren't going to go on indefinitely. Judgment is coming. And we love you, and we want you to get prepared. So hopefully something is said in this lesson here that will encourage you to obey the gospel. Because the lesson this morning is directed at those who have obeyed the gospel, those who belong to God. And hopefully, you'll see as we discuss here the blessings that God's people have. Hopefully, that will encourage you. You know, I want that in my life. I need that in my life. You see, God has made us a promise. On the other side of this life, for those who benefit, those who take up this promise, God's going to fulfill that promise. And if you open your Bibles, 23rd Psalm, I want you to think about this. You know, God wants you to check him out. God has a track record. You can check him out. You know, he's good to you even when you're not good to him, even when you're not good to yourself. 23rd Psalm here. I want us to think about this. I want us to think about one of probably the most recognizable passages in the entire Bible. You could probably go up to any man on the street and they'll be able to quote a little bit of the 23rd Psalm, right? They probably know my cup runs over, right? My cup runneth over. And they could probably tell you what that's all about, to a certain degree anyways. Or if you, it used to be maybe in the older war movies, it seems like, the soldiers going into battle, they would quote from the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You used to hear it a little bit more, but most people know what's going on in the 23rd Psalm. They can quote at least a part of it. Most people understand that it's talking about the blessings that God's people have. But I want us to think about these four words, my cup runs over. My mind many times goes back to the King James rendering there, my cup runneth over, as you saw there in the title of this lesson. These four words, I want you to think about that this morning. And really, it's talking about this contentment, this joy that we are to have, or happiness, this trust that we have in the Good Shepherd. It's talking about this contentment and joy that only God's people can truly have. And so we're gonna look within and be reminded of the blessings that we have as God's people. David here styles himself as a sheep, even though when he writes this, he was a shepherd. He was a king to his people. And David points out here that sheep that he's talking about here is fed by the shepherd in green pastures. The shepherd leads me beside still waters. He's my shepherd, so I'm going to let him lead. He knows the way to go. And as my shepherd, he's my protector. And we're shown the idea of trust as he begins, that we are protected by a good and loving and powerful protector. And we're shown the idea of trust as he begins to open this up for us. And it's the idea as we read this that what I truly, truly trust, my shepherd, I get that settling of the soul, that peace of mind only his people can have. I can trust my shepherd. If I can say with trust that God, that the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. David goes on to say, of course, there in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. He drew a picture of himself as being treated as a guest in the house of a good and gracious host. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, not only is God good and going to take care of you for a little while on this side of eternity, but he's going to go on and take care of you forever. On into eternity, and David understood that. And I believe that's why the Apostle Paul said what he said when he preached in Pisidian Acts, the 13th chapter, and verse 22, Paul was given a history of the Jewish people to the Jews here. If you turn over to Acts 13, and he was telling the Israelites about how God blessed them and helped them out of bondage, and how God gave them everything that they needed, everything they needed to live. And as they traveled through a harsh and unforgiving land, how God had cared for his people. And as Paul reminded these folks here of what God did for the people in the past, and later how he gave them judges and then a king, he says in verse 22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill my will. Now listen again. A man after mine own heart. And God said that about David, the one who, of course, wrote the 23rd Psalm. God saying he had a heart like I do. And that idea troubles us sometimes, because if you know much about David, if you've read much in your Bible, you know some of the things that David did. Right? Murder, adultery, lying, these evil machinations, all of these things that most of us would never even consider doing. But God said that David was a man after his own heart. Why? How could that be? Have you ever thought about that? Well, you know why? It's because David knew how to repent. He had a repentive heart. You know, and that's the kind of heart that God desires of us. You see, the Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him in repentance. So David, when he found out he was in disfellowship with God because of his sins, he was deeply sorry. He was truly sorrowful for his great sins, and David repented from his heart. Psalm 51, David repented sincerely, and God loved him for that. Now, David still suffered the consequences of those sins, but his sins were forgiven. And so when David writes what he writes in the 23rd Psalm, when he says, "My cup runs over," it's the idea of understanding his sin and the forgiveness that God had offered him. So when we can gather that concept, understand that promise of God and his willingness and his ability to carry through that promise to remove your sins, that's going to fill your cup. So much so that it's overflowing when you truly understand what you have in God through Jesus Christ. When God said, "David's a man after my own heart," you know, he even went on to spare the kingdom that Solomon messed up, his son. He spared the kingdom because of David. So we can see why David could say, "My cup runs over." That's a blessing that God allows his people, forgiveness of sins. And as we learn from David, you know, we can do some downright terrible things. But if we come to God with true repentance, that proper repentive heart, our good and loving God will extend that mercy and that grace to us. We read that God knew David from without and God knew David from within. God says he's got a mind, he's got a heart like I do. Remember when Samuel went to the family of David, 1 Samuel 16, to anoint the king, to anoint David as king. And, you know, the boys were all lined up. And Samuel goes on to say that God looks at the inside and, you know, not at the outside. He looks at the heart of a person. God saw David's heart. And, you know, God's still doing that today. He's still looking at our hearts. We look at the outside of a person, but our God looks within a person. Back in Psalm 23 and verse 5, we have one of the most impressive passages in the entire Bible. And in it here we read, David proclaiming, "My cup runneth over, my cup runs over." That's what he's saying, but why? What could David have meant here? I believe the answer is he's talking about the very capacity of his soul. The capacity of my soul, he says, runs over. That which is on the inside of me, that God can fill it up so much that it overflows. And let me ask you this, you know, do you want that? Is that your desire here this morning? Do you want that? Do you want to come to God in such a manner, to come to Christ in such a way that you'll allow him to fill up your cup, the capacity of your soul, so much so that it overflows? Have you been filled to the very capacity of your soul? David said, "Even in the presence of mine enemies, his need was supplied and met with such an abundance." David said his cup overflows with God's blessings. It's just running over. It's been filled and then some. All of this has been given to me. Think about how we're made up. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Look at the way Paul says it. And you read there, it reads, "And the very God of peace," Paul, as he's closing this letter, 1 Thessalonians, is all about the comforting coming of Christ. And he says, and the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. Not H-O-L-Y holy, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, meaning completely. Now, what is he talking about here, holy? Well, he's meaning sanctified. Now, unfortunately, I think there's some Christians that say, well, I'm not sanctified. You know, that's for those holy rollers, right? You know, I'm just a regular Christian. I'm not sanctified. Listen, if you're not sanctified, you're not saved. You're not even a Christian. Sanctified means that you've been set aside for a special purpose. Now, we're thinking about how we're made up on the inside, the capacity of the soul. That's what sanctified means. You remember, you were in darkness, you obeyed the gospel. He transferred you into his marvelous light. Now you're set aside for a special purpose. Knowing the forgiveness of sins that you have and the blessings that you have, knowing that your cup is being filled, you're going to live a very particular way now. God's purpose. Now the question is, what are you going to do about it? You can't sanctify yourself. You need God to sanctify. And he sanctifies those who are his own. Paul says, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that word preserved, I want you to think about it for just a moment. Many of you here have preserves at home, right? People used to make preserves a lot more on their own instead of buying them at the store, do canning. Right? I'm sure a lot of people here have done the canning before. Well, what are you doing when you do that? Well, you're taking something and you're gonna do something to it. And if you do it right, you're going to preserve it and make it last. You're going to make it so it's useful later on. So think about this word preserve here, right? That's what this word means in verse 23. God has preserved a way for us. He has preserved us. He's made a way to keep us whole and complete and useful and good. He made a way to possibly here to sanctify and preserve my spirit and my body and my soul so that I can proclaim my cup runs over. Eternal, everlasting life is waiting for us. It's been preserved, waiting until the coming again of Jesus Christ our Savior. So again, a question to each and every one of us is, what are you going to do about it? How is that going to change your daily life when you truly understand that? If you're ready for that day, if you know what he did to preserve your soul, your spirit, your body, and your soul, if you come to him in obedience, you can also proclaim, my cup runneth over. Those blessings of alone there, the very preservation and sanctification of your soul, it's going to fill your cup, causing them to absolutely overflow. So that you now see things differently. Go back to the 23rd Psalm now. Be reminded what he tells us in verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Can you see it? The very preservation and sanctification of your soul, it's going to fill your cup, causing it to overflow. So that no matter what you're facing in this life, no matter what sins you've committed in the past, you, like David, can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You can make that proclamation. You know, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You start to put it all together. When you think about your cup being filled and overflowing, you see that he's leading you, verse 2. He's restored you. He's preserved your spirit, your body, your soul. Verse 3, he protects you. Verse 4, He has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Anoint your head with oil. Your cup overflows. And I want you to notice the end result of that in verse 6. This is what we have as his children. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the result. And what a wonderful thought that is. You know, is the Lord Jesus Christ your shepherd? If he is, you'll never want again. Are you afraid? Are you scared for your soul and your body and your spirit? If you are, if you follow him, he'll lead you beside the still waters. And you know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the settling of the soul. Right? He's talking about a peace, a settling of the soul, an assurance, a guarantee, a pledge, a promise. That although maybe even terrible things are in your life, maybe very difficult things are in your life, maybe you're facing a lot of terrible things. If you follow him, you can have this peace that only Jesus Christ offers, that peace that surpasses all understanding that Paul writes about in Philippians, the fourth chapter. Now, as we finish up this morning here, I want to read the entire six verses there. But before I do, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about what came before the 23rd Psalm. Now, the fact of the matter is, there's a high probability that someday in the future, I'll be officiating a funeral here of someone that's here today. And one of the things that we normally see, if you go to many funerals and you get the obituary, somewhere on there usually is a 23rd Psalm. Probably the most common passage that's on there. And there's a reason for that. A good reason. Because it's a passage that gives us comfort. Now, I want you to think about what gives this passage its power, its purpose, its scope, its meaning. I want you to think about Psalm 22. Psalm 22, especially beginning in verse 12. About 1,000 years before the death of Jesus, we get very intimate details about what the suffering Messiah would go through. Many bulls have surrounded me, verse 12. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like raging and roaring lions. See, this is that imagery around the cross as Jesus is lifted up. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. That's 1,000 years. Before Jesus would go to the cross and suffer those things. And we're given that imagery, that prophecy. So now when we go to the 23rd Psalm, it has meaning. It's got power. It's got purpose. Knowing what Jesus did for me, now when I go to the 23rd Psalm and I read it, it changes everything, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He died for me in my law place on the cross. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He died in my law place on the cross. He paid that purchase price for my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear nothing. I belong to Jesus Christ. I've been purchased. You can't kill a Christian. You can only send them to heaven. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now when I say that statement, when I understand, it makes a whole lot more sense, doesn't it? I didn't deserve any of that. I didn't deserve Jesus leaving the glory of heaven to come down to this earth and walk among filthy, sinful men and to die. But he did because I needed him to. And he did that for me. My cup runneth over. Now I can truly understand verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you make Jesus the shepherd of your heart? God's looking at your heart right now. If so, the Bible says you must come to him in obedience to his gospel. Listen, believing is not enough. It's simply not enough. The Lord requires that you take action concerning your faith to do something about it. We read out of 1 Thessalonians earlier, chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians is all about the comforting coming of Christ. 2 Thessalonians is all about the consequential coming of Christ. There will be consequences for those that are not prepared, those who aren't willing to say, yes, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to follow him as my shepherd. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, we read, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." God says in his word that you must not only know him, but you got to obey the gospel. It's one thing to know God. It's a whole other thing to obey God. Not my words. You see it there in the Bible. You must know God. You must obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, or there will be consequences. Now, if you're here this morning and that scares you a little bit, you haven't done that, I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing to really think about these things. Now, the gospel, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, you might be thinking, how do I obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Great question. Romans 6, 3 and 4 tells us, you do so by reenacting his death, burial, and resurrection in water, immersion, also called baptism. You do that because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, John 8 and verse 24. You're willing to repent of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. You're willing to confess Christ before men, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Say, I'm not ashamed. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You put him on in baptism. Baptism saves you, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. If you haven't done that, that's the call this morning. If you've done that, but along the way you lost your way, the shepherd's calling you home. If you have a need spiritually this morning, please don't hesitate. Let someone know as we stand, as we sing.